Today on Vox Talks Economics, the shock to global supply chains when China went into lockdown. Welcome to Vox Talks Economics from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. My name is Tim Phillips. Every week we bring you the best new research in economics, so remember to subscribe and follow us on Instagram as well. China was first into COVID lockdown at the beginning of 2020, closing many factories along the way, and many of the Chinese firms that were affected were also important trade partners in our globalised economy. So how did this surprise disruption to supply affect the firms that relied on Chinese products, and which firms did best to de-risk their supply chains? Isabelle Méjean of Sciences Po and CEPR is one of the authors of a new paper that uses microdata to examine what happened in 2020 and what we can learn from it. And she joins me now. Isabelle, welcome to Vox Talks Economics.
Hello. Hi. Thanks for having me.
Isabelle, a couple of weeks ago, we talked to Richard Baldwin about the problem of disruption to global supply chains when there is a crisis. In general, how important are these chains to the firms in France that you analysed for this paper?
So I would say France is like a typical developed countries with strong comparative advantages in advanced manufacturing sectors, transport equipment, chemicals, stuff like this. And these industries tend to be organized into those complex global value chains. And because of this, France trade is to a very large extent related to those global value chains. So for instance, the firms that we use in our data, in our analysis, they represent something like 3% of French firms, but they account for a third of French domestic sales and about 90% of French exports and imports. So these are typically the firms engaged into global value chains that we have in mind.
One problem with this that trade economists have identified, of course, is the potential over-reliance on Chinese suppliers. When China imposed this lockdown in early 2020, the first that many of us heard about COVID-19, how did that affect manufacturers in China?
So the lockdown has been a bit progressive in China. So the first province entered into lockdown on January the 23rd, 2020. And then basically firms were forced to close or reduce production to a minimum just the break of the Chinese New Year. And the consequence has been a very severe drop in industrial production in January and February. So to give you an order of magnitude, industrial production went down by about 13% in comparison with the same period in 2019. So a very important drop in industrial production.
And no one really anticipated the huge consequences of COVID-19. That's hard to imagine now, isn't it? But can we claim on that basis that the impact on firms in France is a sort of natural experiment?
Yeah, this is kind of what we claim. So basically, a lot of people now, but even before the COVID, were interested into this question on how shocks transmit along global supply chains. And this question has been very important in the context of COVID, but it's difficult to really use this experience just because the whole global supply chains are a mess. So what we do instead in this paper is really to look at the very early stages of the crisis when COVID was the Chinese problem and the only consequences it had to firms outside of China was through the channel of the transmission through global value chain. So this is exactly what we are doing. We are arguing that the shock was not anticipated, at least by French firms, and thus look at what happened just after the lockdown and interpret this as a natural experiment of a shock to their input purchases.
Of course, to do this, then you need data on imports and exports. You need quite detailed data, quite frequent data, don't you, as well? Where did you get it and how detailed was it?
The data that we use are provided to us by the French administration. So we have customs data on import and export at firm level and at a monthly frequency. And this is very important. We need to have data just around the lockdown. And we're also using VAT statements so that we can say something about firm sales abroad, but also in their domestic market. So all these data have been made available to us by the French administration, the tax administration, and the customs.
Using this data then, what can we say about the impact of exports from China of intermediate goods in the manufacturing process to firms in France?
So what we do and what we interpret as a hint that the lockdown has had consequences for global value chains is to look at the imports of firms that were exposed to the Chinese lockdown through their input purchases. So basically, we look at firms that just before the Chinese lockdown were importing from China, and we compare those firms to firms that are very comparable in terms of trade activity, but do not source their inputs from China. So we have a group of firms which is treated in the sense that they were exposed to the Chinese lockdown. And we use a control group that is made of those firms that do not import from China. And when we do this comparison, we look at the dynamics of these firms' imports. And what we see is that just after the lockdown, firms that were ex-ante exposed to China suffered from a drop in their imports. What is interesting is that because we have this monthly frequency, we can really look at the timing. So we see a significant difference in terms of the dynamics of imports between treated and controlled firms as early as in February. And that is maximum in April 2020. And then the two groups of firms converge back. And this is very important because in February and March, there were very few cases of COVID in France. So again, the only way, or at least our interpretation, is that the only channels through which treated firms were exposed is through their input purchases.
And did this have a corresponding effect on sales for these French firms that were exposed to this shock?
Yeah, that's exactly what we are really interested in. So once we confirm that the lockdown can be used as a natural experiment of a shock to input purchases, what we are interested in is what happens to firms that were facing this shock. And what we see when we either look at domestic sales or exports is that, again, those that were exposed to the Chinese lockdown suffered from a relative drop in sales, both domestically and abroad. In quantitative terms, what we find is that if we look at the whole period between February and June 2020, there is 4.8 relative drop in exports for treated firms in comparison with controlled firms, and a 5.7% drop in their domestic sales, again in relative terms with respect to the controlled firms. And again, as well, we can look at the dynamics and find that the peak is achieved in April 2020, and then the two groups converge back when basically all firms are in the middle of the mess induced by the lockdown in France.
Now, of course, firms adapt to these kind of shocks. And one strategy that was talked about very much at the time and since is to diversify the supply chain so that there isn't that reliance on China. China plus one is the phrase that you hear used quite a lot, isn't it? In this case, did that happen? Did it work?
So in the paper, we are not really tackling the question of how firms adapt. And this is because we don't necessarily have enough time after the shock to discuss this kind of reshuffling of firms' strategies.
Yes.
But what we do is to look at the ex-ante structure of their value chains and how this structure induces some form of buffer against this type of shock. So again, the argument is the one you were just saying, is that when a firm has a more diversified supply chain in the geographic dimension, so basically when a firm is importing a given input from more than one country, so China plus one, the firm should be better equipped to deal with a shock that originates from China. So in order to test whether this is the case, what we do is to look at our group of treated firms, and we put those firms into two subsamples, a group of firms that were ex-ante diversified, that imported their inputs from China plus one country, and a group of firms that were not diversified ex-ante. The question we ask is whether these two groups perform differently in the aftermath of the shock. The answer is no. So what we see in the data is that there is no statistically significant difference in the behavior of these firms' sales in the aftermath of the shock. So this goes against what we were anticipating. Firms that we think were better diversified did not perform better. So the interpretation that we have of this kind of surprising result is that probably what we call diversification is actually not. And the reason is that the best we can do is to look at a particular product that is imported by a firm. And whenever this product is imported from more than one country, we call this input diversified. But it may well be that the same product that you import from China in another country are not substitutes. And this might be the reason why this diversification might not be of any help in the case of the shock we are studying.
The other weakness that was exposed in these value chains is the just-in-time strategy when firms hold very small inventories. Did French firms that stockpiled held larger inventories, did they do better in this shock?
Yeah, so this is what we find in the data. And again, this is related to this very popular argument that one of the reasons why global value chains lacked resilience to shock is because all of those firms have adopted massively just-in-time production so that they really optimize their supply chain. But this means that they don't hold a lot of inventories and thus there is no buffer in case of a shock. So what we do here is again to go back to micro data, balance sheet data, and from this data, we can again construct two subsamples of firms, some that ex ante had relatively high level of inventories in comparison with other firms in their sector, and firms that hold relatively low level of inventories. And here we do find significantly different patterns in these firms' sales. So in particular, what we see is that the drop in relative sales that I've told you before is entirely driven by those firms that we see ex ante with relatively low level of inventory. So those firms that really are running just in time have been the ones that were left without any buffer and thus suffered from the largest relative drop in their sales and probably their production.
Yeah, I mean, these are pretty big results, Isabel, but most firms in the world did badly in the COVID-19 shock. Does your research imply that firms should be rethinking the risks of these global value chains?
I'm not sure that those firms waited for our research to rethink their strategy. And I would not argue that. So basically, this question of the risk associated with some organization of the value chain is something that firms really care about. They have very important supply chain departments, which job is to ponder basically the risk and the cost savings that are induced by this type of optimized value chain. So clearly, the risk that in the future there will be more frequent extreme events is likely to force firms to have more buffers. But again, I'm not sure that our research is necessarily going to help them revisit this strategy. What ours and others' research, however, show, and I think it's very important, is that there are network externalities that are related to this decision. So what I mean here is that a firm may well organize its value chain optimally with an ideal cost savings risk balance, but it is very unlikely that this firm is going to integrate the consequences of these decisions for other firms that are involved into the value chain. And here I think the semiconductor example is a very good one. When a firm like Renault or Peugeot or whatever car maker are short on semiconductors, this induces them to slow down production, but this also has consequences for the whole network of upstream firms that also need to reduce the rhythm of their production. And this is what I would call network externalities, basically the fact that firms do not integrate the consequences of their decisions on the rest of the network. And this is very important because potentially this can be a motive for policy interventions. It might be the case that individual firms optimize like rationally. Still, there might be some inefficiencies that are due to the fact that we have this network of firms that are interdependent with each other. So our paper is really about, I think, these interdependencies. And I think also there is more work and more research to be done on this topic, because what we've learned from the crisis is that this type of events can be very costly for a whole industry.
It's very interesting to see that work coming through now, a crisis that has very far-reaching consequences for global value chains. Isabel, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The The paper is called Supply Shocks in Supply Chains, Evidence from the Early Lockdown in China. It is discussion paper 16813 at CPR. And the authors are Julien Martin, Raphaël Lafrenière-Jussier, and Isabelle Méjean. If you also want to listen to our previous Vox Talk, I would very much recommend it. That complements this one very well. That's called Managing Risk in Global Supply Chains. I was talking to Richard Baldwin, and that came out on the 28th of January, 2022. This has been a Vox Talk from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. Every week we bring you the most important latest research. So if you want to know what you're going to be reading about in journals 18 months from now, listen to Vox Talks Economics Today. And when you subscribe, well, it's almost 200 episodes now. So whatever type of economics you enjoy, there is a Vox Talk for you.